Hello, sex fans, and welcome back. Today is Monday, February 9th, 2009, and you are lucky enough to be listening to the podcast edition of Dr. Dick's Sex Advice with an Edge, with your host, that savagely scintillating sexologist, Dr. Dick.
You drove Al Steele to his grave, and now you're trying to stab me in the back? Forget it! I fought worse monsters than you for years in Hollywood. I know how to win the hard way.
Hey, listen, I heard that Al killed himself rather than live with you a moment longer. But I digress. Today, I bring you more fun with Dick and Jane. I mean, Jolene. That would be the erotic author, poetess, and burlesque queen, Jolene Huey. She joins us again this week to finish the conversation we began last week. This is, of course, part of my series of interviews called The Erotic Mind. If you somehow miss part one of this delightful and provocative discussion, look for last week's podcast, number 97, on Dr. Dick's podcast page at the top of drdickssexadvice.com. And be sure to visit Jolene's site at JoleneHuey.com. That's JoleneHuey.com.
Don't fuck with me, fellas! This ain't my first time at the rodeo.
Oh, no. It looks like you're going to stick around for the whole show, huh? All right. Well, sit down and be quiet. Today's podcast sponsor is The Right Position Erotic Boutique and their signature product, The Right Position Pillow. Sex fans, you know that there are only a few more shopping days left till Valentine's Day, right? Okay then, let me introduce you to a really terrific product that is the ideal Valentine's gift. The Right Position Pillow. It's a wedge-shaped pillow molded in soft yet oh-so-supported foam designed to enhance sexual pleasure and comfort for both partners during sex. You see, the whole wedge design raises the lower body to just the right position for easy access to all those naughty bits. Think of it, no more stress and strain when either giving or getting all that hot monkey love. Listen up, this is the ideal sexual aid for everyone, gay, straight, bi, male, female, what have you. Once you've tried one of these babies, you'll wonder how you lived without. Be sure to visit the Right Position Erotic Boutique today and get a load of all their passion packages. Look for their attractive banner in the sidebar of my site.
Thank you, gentlemen. Now let's get to work.
Hey, who's in charge here? Listen, it's my show, and so I get to say, okay, on with the show. Hey, Jolene, thanks for joining us again. I really appreciate you coming back this week after our wonderful time last week. I would like to pick up where we left off last week and ask you about the distinction between erotic art and erotica on the one hand and pornography on the other. All of them depict and describe the body, sensuality, sexuality, even lovemaking, but there is a fundamental difference between the two forms of expression, pornography on the one hand and erotic art or erotica on the other. Where does the difference lie for you?
You know, I was thinking about this and I'm really not sure. I was always taught, and this sounds funny, but by my mother.
And you know it's got to be good stuff if your mommy told you.
She told me that pornography is degrading.
Uh-huh.
And I don't remember how old I was, but my mom was taking a college course, and she did a research paper on pornography, and uh-huh. She was telling me about all these findings, and she did tell me that pornography is something that's degrading to women or whoever the subject
uh-huh.
is,
uh-huh.
and that erotica is more sexy and more of a turn-on. Mm-hmm. But then again, I mean, I don't know anymore, because what's degrading to one person is not going to be degrading to another.
That's right.
Like, I mean, a blowjob could be degrading to someone. Like, oh, my God, that woman's being degraded. She's giving a man a blowjob.
Right.
But to me, I'm like, no, that's sexy. So
yeah.
I really don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know where that line is or if there is even one.
Yeah. And the other side of that coin is that there's a lot of people, a lot of women in particular, who believe that even written erotica that is sexually overt is exploitative. Mm-hmm. I don't see how they can make that claim, but, you know, it's it certainly is out.
Seriously,
there.
They can't say that about my characters.
I know. Speaking of
my
which...
My characters argue. I am not being degraded or exploited.
Speaking of which, could you share something?
Sure.
Start us off again this week, as you did last?
Yeah, sure. I'm going to actually read something from Ultimate Lesbian Erotica. The story I wrote is called The New Neighbors. And I actually read from this the other night, but I'm going to read for your fine audience.
Thank you.
It's about a lesbian couple who they are watching another lesbian couple across the way from them. They're looking into their bedroom and watching what's going on and getting turned on.
Is this in West Hollywood?
It could
in
be.
In Portland, Oregon, I mean.
Well, there is no setting for it, but it could be neither of those places.
All right.
Okay. Do you think they'll leave their light on for a while, I asked. Her pupils were still very large and her robe was still gaping. God, I hope so. She ran over to the window with her mug. Do you think they can see us, I asked, joining her once again. She set her French manicured fingertips on the window ledge and put her face closer to the glass. I stood next to her. The women were moving the boxes. They were transporting them into another room. The women were, like Alexandra and me, about the same height. They both had blonde hair, like Alexandra and I both had dark hair. They were both wearing short shorts. One had on green and the other had on red. It's like a Christmas present just moved in or something, I said, leaning in closer. We both laughed. We stood there for what seemed like forever and watched them removing the boxes from the room. Look, Alexander broke our peeping silence. There are two nightstands by the bed. Ha! I knew they were a couple. I followed the green one with my eyes. She had the last box in her arms. The red one stood by their large mirrored closet. How long have we been standing here, I asked. Oh, I don't know. We both kept watching as Red rifled through the closet. Her ponytail swayed against her pert butt. I could barely break free, but I had to look at the time. It was 10:15. We've been watching them that long, I asked, resuming my position. Well, we have to wait till something exciting happens. I suppose, I said, and then continued until Green walked through the doorway. She'd taken her hair down and was holding a towel. Red turned around and they started to talk. Oh my God, I said, I wonder what they're saying. Shh, Alexander scrunched her eyebrows. We both watched as Green started to take her clothes off. No way, I said. Shh, they can't hear us. I don't care, I can hear us and I want to concentrate. I smiled at her commitment to the events going on in the other bedroom. I could feel the heat coming off her skin. You're enjoying this, aren't you? I was looking at her face. Her skin was so beautiful. She was staring intently through the glass, wondering what was going on. I was hoping I knew what was going on. I could tell that if these new neighbors started getting sexual, Alexander would explode with delight. I'd already seen her explode earlier. Seeing her overcome with pleasure was one of the best things in life. Look, she exclaimed. When I turned to check it out, I could not believe what was happening. It was like a movie or something. Red had started to take her clothes off, and Green was completely naked. They are not just roommates, I said. I pushed my glasses back up. They tended to slip quite a bit because my bridge was not thick enough to hold them. No. No, they aren't. Red was completely naked now and had let her hair down, too. My heartbeat started to accelerate. I knew what was going to happen. I was very excited to see this. It was much better than watching someone take out his or her trash. Green stepped up to Red and started kissing her. This can't be real, I said. This looks like a damn porno. Oh, it's real. The women started to fondle each other. Green grabbed Red's ass, and their kissing got deeper. Don't they know their blinds are open? Who cares? I'm just saying, just shut up, Gwen. We got something important going on right in front of us. I shut my mouth and watched the scene unfold. The women continued their fondling. I could tell they had been visiting tanning salons because their bodies were tan. Green's breasts were larger and sagged a little bit more. I preferred Red's, which were smaller and perkier. Red also had tattoos on her forearms. I liked women with tattoos. Green was a little sturdier, her body more muscular. Red was more wispy, with thinner limbs. I liked my women more feminine. Grant's hair was a bit darker, and her pussy was covered in a small dark patch. I was glad I had my glasses on to see these precious details. Alexander and I were both breathing heavier. Our breath was steaming up the window. I took my sleeve and wiped off the moisture. They were both still standing, but Red had her back to Green. She was pressing her cute little butt into Green's crotch. I felt myself getting wet. Shortly after that, Red was bent over with Green's fingers in her pussy. I felt myself gasp and looked over to see Alexander's mouth slightly open. I turned back to the action. Green was moving her fingers in and out of Red. "Holy shit," Alexander said. Almost as if Green were punctuating Alexander's comment. She had a dildo in her left hand. "No fucking way," I whispered this time. Red bent over and touched her toes. Green removed her fingers and sucked on the dildo. I shook my head in amazement. The dildo was in Red before we knew it. She was still bent over, but the dildo was in her pussy, not her ass. Green moved in expertly with her left hand and sucked on her right middle finger. When she slid it into Red's ass, Red threw her head back and opened her mouth. The look of pleasure on her face was apparent. Green kept doing what she was doing. The wetness was seeping through my underwear and onto my jeans. I felt Alexander's robe fall to the floor. When I turned to look at her, her fingers were already in her pussy. And that's it for that one.
Oh, no, no! But wait a minute.
Pick up Ultimate Lesbian Erotica 2008.
Oh, see? She was like a pusher lady.
No. No time to read the whole thing.
Oh, that's really wonderful. So, this whole lesbian sex thing, you read about it in a book somewhere, right?
Of course, I read everything in books. I never leave my apartment.
I see. Has your boyfriend found out about,
Oh,
I love
we're
it.
Not going to talk about my personal life. That is not for anyone's ears.
I see. Okay, well, moving right along then.
Right.
Listen, has reading and writing erotica empowered you as a woman or even enriched your sexual and sensual life?
I think I've always been pretty empowered, and that's why I started writing it, you know?
So it's the other way around then.
Yeah. It has made me a more sexual person.
Is that even
if
possible?
That's even possible? Yeah, I don't know if that's possible.
How about the reverse? Do you suppose that reading and or even writing erotica would be beneficial for other people, women and men?
Oh, definitely. I mean, everyone's so repressed, and yeah. I think a lot of people in our society have that problem.
Uh-huh.
They feel like their sexual thoughts are dirty.
Yeah.
And I think reading it in literary form
can
them realize it's not dirty, it's just sex.
Yeah. I believe, as you do, and oftentimes in my therapy practice for couples, I give them homework to do and to write a story or even, you know, for the truly repressed, to write down on a piece of paper all the naughty, dirty words that they can think of. You know, euphemisms for penises and vaginas and things like that, or for the sex act. And for some, it's torture, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, they can barely think of them, let alone, you know, using their fingers to write down on a piece of paper
words. They're just raised in such strict, conservative, closed-minded households that they just get out of it.
Yeah.
And I was raised in a pretty open environment.
You don't say.
I mean, not...
Grandma
not...
was feeding you erotica, for goodness sake.
That's true. She was. So, yeah, you know, I think that is why I am so open, obviously. Yeah. Because
well,
I was raised...
Well,
and I was raised to be a free thinker. Like, I was raised to make my own decisions.
Yeah. Well, lucky for us that happened. Otherwise, I mean, could you imagine if you had the same drives that you do and no way to express them? I mean, and that must be happening for a good portion of the population, both men and women, you know, who have really strong sexual desires and, you know, erotic natures to themselves, but absolutely no way to express it. It must be absolute torture.
Yeah, I can't even imagine.
Maybe this would be a good place for us to talk about your personal take on erotica. As we've already discussed, there are several plausible definitions floating around out there. But what is your take on it? What does erotic in art mean to you?
I think it's something erotic. It's something sexy.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's as simple as that.
Uh-huh.
It's something that turns you on, something that you find sexy. I think that's it.
Mm-hmm. So it's really dependent on, the person's understanding of sexy.
Mm-hmm.
So like a silk scarf could be very sexy to one person and, a bustier, bustier to another.
Painted toenails.
That's right. That's right. That's right. That's right.
Yeah. Blindfolding. I don't know.
Don't go on. Please don't go on. Oh,
I
Lord.
Want to stop right there.
Make her stop, please. So as an author, I gather that you write other stuff besides the stuff that is commonly understood as erotic. What makes your erotic stuff different from your other work? I mean, besides the obvious.
Well, I do. Yeah, I mean, I do write a horror column, and I do write a hockey column. Neither of those are erotic.
Unless, of course, you've got a thing for hockey sticks.
Well, I do have a thing for hockey players, but no, it's a family column, okay? I don't know what's different besides the sex. I mean, I guess that's pretty obvious, huh?
Yeah. Are there topics that you gravitate toward in your erotica and topics that you avoid?
I don't know what kind of topics I would avoid. I mean, I've even written a story about a woman who has sex with her ex-boyfriend's dead body as a way of saying goodbye to him.
No kidding. Interesting.
Yes. So, I just avoid boring topics, let's say. I avoid a story with a man and a woman having missionary position sex and then going to bed. I don't
with
know.
The lights out.
Yes. Fully clothed.
Yeah, which, a good portion of the population is doing it exactly like that.
Wow.
I know, it's tragic. I mean, I see that in my in the messages I get on Dr. Dick's sex advice and, the questions, and I see it in my private practice and stuff like that. I mean, some people find it sexually adventuresome to leave the lights on.
Yeah. Oh, that's so sad.
It is.
I'm not knocking missionary position, by the way.
Because it works for those goddamn missionaries, don't you know?
It's really my favorite, actually, anyone wants to know that. I'm sharing that with the whole world. That is my favorite.
Be sure to note that, audience. Do the themes expressed in your work reflect your lifestyle? If not, how do you get into character, so to speak?
They don't always reflect my lifestyle, but it's good to have that active imagination that I have.
Uh-huh.
And it's fun to pretend to be someone else. And
yeah.
I could think, because I have written some gay erotica.
Mm.
And
you're not
fun.
A gay man, I'm assuming.
I'm not a gay man, no. Even though people say I am when trapped in a woman's body, but no, I do not have a penis.
And that's kind of what you need right there.
Yeah, no man-on-man sex here.
But so, it would seem to me, and correct me if I'm wrong, that a really good author of erotica has to understand the fundamentals of male and female sexuality.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, definitely, because you have to know how it works.
Uh-huh.
To begin with, and then how it could turn someone on.
That's right. And then would it also be equally important for the author to be in touch with the yin and yang in his or her life, the male and female energy inside?
Oh, yeah, I believe so. If you're going to be successful in your writing, you've got to be successful in your life with it.
Right.
I would think. Maybe not. For me, yes. It makes it easier for me to write if I'm satisfied with myself and my, what I mean.
Uh-huh. So you can tap into, Jolene's masculinity as well as Jolene's feminine.
Oh, definitely.
Cool being.
Because I am a weird dude.
The boyfriend said.
Yes.
Really? How insightful. he's going to get a gold star.
I know. It's funny.
Let's see. Maybe this would be a good time for you to share another juicy tidbit. Oh, please.
All right. I will. And this one is from a story called A Million Camilles. Mm. And it's more, it's a darker story.
Okay.
It's kind of a revenge story. It's out of the book J is for Jealousy.
All right. Good, good, good.
Edited by Alison Tyler. And it was a therapeutic story for me to write. So I will read a little bit of it.
We'll probably figure out what the therapeutic intervention
was
there.
Yeah, you'll see what I mean.
Okie dokie.
Okay. Juicy plump lips stared back at me from the photograph on my computer screen. Her dark skin was baked by a tanning salon, her hair freshly dyed. I placed her at about 21 years old, with freckles across her nose and baby fresh skin. Her shirt was cut low, her small perky tits shimmied together by a push-up bra. Fire raced through me. I wanted to wrap my hands around her scented little throat and squeeze until her dark brown eyes adorned with fake eyelashes bulged out of her head. And I'd never even met her. My ex-boyfriend, Robert, was a photographer in San Diego working on various projects. He always had models around when the two of us were living together. Every once in a while, I would think that maybe he was fucking one of them, but he always assured me that his work was strictly professional. I sniffed his neck often, in search of a foreign feminine scent. I checked his clothes for telltale signs, smells, and then I got tired of worrying all the time. When I moved to Los Angeles, I told him it was because he and I weren't as compatible as we had originally thought, but I knew he'd start fucking them if he hadn't already. Like some kind of crazed woman still in love, I went to his website regularly, looking at his haunting images of the city and the newest images he had posted of a new model. Her name was Camille. That's what it said on the site. Last month, he shot a blonde named Heather. The month before was Randy, a very masculine brunette. I could deal with those two. Camille was different. I knew he was fucking her. The close-up portraits, the full-body images, the cleavage shots, and the pictures of her ass in tight jeans. He gave himself away. Her nails were manicured perfectly, the acrylic tips glossy. While clicking on the thumbnail images that expanded into larger images that filled my screen, I sometimes stuck my hand down my pants, staring into her eyes. My pussy was moist from thinking about her and Robert going at it on my favorite duvet cover that I'd left with him. Stupid fucking cunt, I'd say, my fingers rubbing my hardened clit. I closed my eyes to visions of his red cock going into her tight virginal asshole. The juices would fill my underwear and I'd have to jump in the shower. When I could no longer take the torment, I dressed in a corset and tight jeans and went into one of my favorite bars in West Hollywood. I'm bisexual. I'd been with about 5 guys in my life, but the only one I'd ever loved was Robert. I'd been with probably twice as many women. I generally preferred petite blondes who contrasted with my dark looks. But tonight I was out for something different. I wanted someone who looked like Camille. I was drinking a vodka tonic when I saw her walk up to the bar. She was alone, running her manicured fingernails through her dyed hair. I couldn't see her eyes at this distance, but they seemed to be dark. She, like many women in Southern California, had a fake baked appearance. Her breasts weren't too large. She would do. I threw the rest of my drink back into my throat. Can I get a Grey Goose and tonic? I didn't want to order a well drink. I had to appear a little more impressive than that. I looked over at my target. I could smell her. She smelled like apples. Hey, I said. She looked at me. Sure enough, false eyelashes. Hi, she said. Her voice was small and cute. What are you having? Oh, just a vodka cranberry. I could have guessed that. I'm not even sure why I asked. I had her back on my doorstep within an hour. I bought her 3 drinks and she was starting to slur her words. We entered my apartment. You want another drink? I asked her, throwing my keys onto my dining room table. I think I'm good, she said and sat on my couch. Her purse fell to the floor, the contents spilling out. I walked over to help her and ended up sitting next to her. I put my lips to hers and tasted them fully. She had some kind of apple lip gloss on. That explained the scent. Women are so great that way. They always taste so fucking good. While I like a man's rugged face, I love the smoothness of women's lips and how women always taste so fruity. I put my hands on either side of her face and kissed her ferociously. You taste so good, I said, my hands moving to her breasts. I led her to the bedroom where my computer displayed a picture of Camille. I positioned the girl so that she was facing me with her back to the monitor. I slowly took off each article of her clothing, glancing at the monitor every once in a while. My pussy got wet when I saw the girl's little lacy bra and thong combo. I kissed her stomach and stretched her out on my bed. I took one final glance at Camille and reached into my nightstand for a goodie I had prepared for tonight. It was a tan double-headed dildo. The girl's eyes got wide when she saw it. It was pretty massive, actually. I liked how it stretched my pussy out. I wanted to stretch her little cunt out, too. I closed my eyes and kissed her. When I opened them, she was looking at me with fear. "Don't worry, it will feel good," I reassured her. I set the dildo down on the bed and kissed her and put my fingers to her pussy. No matter how scared she looked, she was still aroused. "Take your bra off," I told her. She obliged as I was still fingering her tight cunt. "Now play with yourself while I watch," I said. I backed off of her and took my clothes off and slung them to the floor. She stared at my tattoos. "Do you like what you see?" I asked. She circled her clit. I grabbed the dildo and moved her hand away with my hand. She was dripping wet. I carefully slid in the head and she moaned. I fucked her slowly for a while. "Yeah, you like that?" She moaned again. Her pussy stretched easily, her hips moved with the rhythm of my hand. I could feel myself getting wet. I bent the long dildo easily and put the other end in my pussy. "Help me fuck," I told her. Her hands grazed mine as she grasped for the cock. I rode it hard and she moaned. When she screamed with orgasm, I screamed, my juices dripping onto the bed, mixing with hers. The next weekend, I met a girl a little taller than the last, but she still had that dark skin, dark eyes, and fake hair color that I longed for. Her breasts were a little smaller, but I wanted to fondle them. I wonder how Robert touched Camille's. He used to grab mine as he fucked me from behind. He'd grip and mash them as he came violently inside me. I wanted to grip this girl's like he had once gripped mine. I'd fuck her from behind. She'd like it. So as you can see, that one was a little darker.
You know what? I think I'm a lesbian. You're making me a lesbian.
Awesome. My goal.
To dominate the world and make everyone... Anyhow. So, let me compose myself. Today, erotic artists abound, and there is an abundance of amazingly good written erotica out there, too. Although in some circles, this genre is still not accepted as mainstream. Has that been your experience?
No, some people are taken aback when I tell them. Mm-hmm. Like, they're like, oh my goodness. But then they're like, oh, well, that's really cool, and they really become interested in it. No one has ever said anything like, oh, God, like... No one has ever said anything negative about it, but that might be because of my personality.
And the group that you hang with.
And they know that I would tear their throats out if they said anything rude to me. But no, I mean, I get really positive feedback and positive reactions to what I do. But yeah, it might be the people I associate with too.
Yeah. Have you ever been on the receiving end of criticism for the work that you do, or been denigrated by other authors because of the content?
Not that I know of. As I said, no one has told me this to my face, but right. I don't know.
Right. Well, you know, ignorance is bliss, they say.
Yep.
But, you know, and it's good. You know, maybe this, you know, first of all, you're living in a part of the country that I think is... a whole lot more welcoming and inclusive, as opposed to where Jeremy lives, for example. And,
oh, yeah.
Where he has to be very, very circumspect. He's, you know, living the dream. It scares the horses where he lives. So
For me, I don't know. I understand. I definitely understand his point of view and where he's living. For me, like... With me not using a pen name and all that, I'm very proud of my work and what I've accomplished, and I'm kind of outspoken, as you can tell.
Kind of.
So I'm very proud of it, and I would never hold it back, I don't think. But yeah, then again, I would not be living in a smaller town. I would not be living in an area of the country that wasn't open. So I don't know how I would be in that situation.
Right. It is. It's a very interesting kind of thing. You are who you are because of the environment, but you are the one who chose the environment to live in, too. So I see that. Is it possible for you to possible for you as an erotic artist to eroticize something you personally don't find sexy?
Well, I guess I can, because I did write that, the story about the woman having sex with her dead boyfriend, and I don't personally find that sexy.
All that much?
I really don't. That's something I do not find sexy. And I think I eroticized it well.
That's really interesting, because most people say that they can't, or they don't even want to bother to try, which is very interesting. I'm wondering how far an artist could push him or herself in this regard. It would be a very interesting.
Well, that was pretty far for me to push.
Yes,
because
I would think so.
Yeah. Yeah. And it was a very difficult story for me to write, but I did it, and it felt really good after I wrote
it. What do you look for in the work of other erotic artists, either written or graphic?
Well, when it comes to writing, the writing has to be good, obviously. Have to be able to read it. It has to sound intelligent. And it has to turn me on or have some kind of beauty in it.
It has to say pussy a lot, apparently.
I do use that word a lot, don't I? I like that word.
Yeah. I mean, what's not to like? Who are your inspirations?
I don't even know if I have any inspirations.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Any sexual heroes?
No sexual heroes either.
You are a woman apart.
One of my heroes is Dr. Drew, though. I love Dr. Drew. He's not a sexual hero, but I do love him.
Oh, well, that's good.
And also, my other hero is, have you ever seen that show, John and Kate Plus 8?
No.
It's about that family who has 8 kids, and 6 of them are sextuplets.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. Anyway, I love that show, and Kate, the mother, is my hero. She just manages that household so well. So she's not my sexual hero, but she's my hero.
Right. So what does the future hold for you and your work?
Well, I'm just going to keep writing. I'm hoping... God, I hope I can write a novel. I'm just... I'm going to be able to sit down and just crank one out. I want to be able to have that out there.
Could you write a series of short vignettes that could be a novel or a novella?
Well, I could do that, and I could also have a compilation of short stories, because I have enough.
Yeah.
I could publish one of those, but I don't know. I just keep writing and writing and writing.
Mm-hmm. Do you have any...
Aimlessly.
Doesn't sound like it's aimless.
I have a book of poetry, too, that I wrote, and I haven't published it yet, but yeah.
Is it erotic?
There's some erotic parts in it, but no, the focus is not erotic.
Part, huh?
Yeah, there is sex in it. No.
Do you have any advice for the novice writer of erotica?
My advice is just to write something that you find sexy, because as I said before, someone else has got to find it sexy.
Cool.
And don't be afraid. Don't be afraid to write erotica.
And
there's nothing to be afraid of.
You're encouraging them to be graphic then, yes?
Yeah. Anything that turns them on.
Right. So if you're going to be writing romance, you know, make sure that you add cocks and pussies.
No, not romance. This is erotica. Uh-huh. I don't even know if I could write romance. That's sad, but I don't know if I could.
Well, you know, I don't think I wouldn't even bother. I don't. That's not something that I'd be interested in reading. It just, you know, it's like all foreplay and no fucking. I mean, it's like,
why bother?
There's
some fucking in it.
Yeah, but it's always, you know, it fades to black kind of thing.
I don't know. When I was reading those books when I was 11, the first one I read was called A Knight in Shining Armor by Jude Devereaux.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember a scene in there where they had sex in a kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
And I was so amazed by that. So it did not fade to black.
Ever since.
I know. I just read the. I was reading these books in reading class in sixth grade. Like we'd have or reading time like that. Our hour of reading, I'd pull out these books and read them.
Well.
Hasn't changed.
So listen, can you give us your web address and walk us around your site a bit?
Sure, it's www.jolenehui.com.
And how do you spell your last name, ma'am?
It's H-U-I, so it's JOLENEHUI.com.
Cool.
Let me go to it right now.
All right.
It probably needs an update. I've actually you don't look at this one. No, just kidding. I still have stuff on here that... that you could look at. Let's see, there's the home, there's About Me that has been under construction for a little while, there are some photos.
Big time, and luscious, delicious photos, as we talked about our first half hour together.
I was working with a photographer for a few years, and I was his
no
only
doubt.
Model, so yeah, he got some good pictures of me. I have a writing section, and that's where you can find links to the books that I'm published in.
And we can buy your work through your website, or you give
merch?
Yes. Yes.
No, there are links to Amazon.
I see. Good. 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 Well, yeah.
Since I don't have a novel published in my name yet, yeah. No, can't buy it through me. But yeah, there are links to Amazon on my site. And also, I'm working on my blog. I was using MySpace for my blog for years, and then I realized that it's just not very accessible for people.
Yes.
So I've
especially
moved.
For those of us like me who don't have MySpace.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So I've started a new blog. Well, I've had this address for a while, and I was just using it to put my pictures.
Uh-huh.
But it's JoleneHui, JoleneHui.blogspot.com.
Cool.
So if you want to keep up with my blog, you can go there.
I do. I want to keep up with your blog.
I'm just starting putting stuff on here because I just transitioned.
Smutty stuff, I hope.
Well, you can go there right now. I have some smutty pictures on here. I do some burlesque with a couple of girls.
Oh,
and we
my
just
goodness.
Shoot.
See, now, there's a whole other topic that we're going to have to invite you back to talk
Maybe.
All about. Miss Jolene. Well, darling, thank you for being so generous with your precious time. We are all the richer for the experience.
That was a lot of fun. Thank you for having me.
And we will be seeing you in cyberspace.
I hope so.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
Wow, what a great show, huh? Well, that's it for today, sex fans. I'm so glad you could join me. Tune in next week for more sex advice with an edge with your host, me, Dr. Dick. Again, this week's podcast sponsor is The Right Position Erotic Boutique. Allow me to direct you to a swell online shop where you can find exactly the right gift for your special someone. The Right Position Erotic Boutique offers a tantalizing array of fun yet functional products for every couple. Feeling really creative? Excellent! Create your own lover's package from among all the fine products offered that will maximize your pleasure and romance. And don't forget to include the Right Position pillow. If you're not sure what to buy, that's okay. The Right Position Erotic Boutique has a whole bunch of delightful passion packages already assembled. And each and every one is guaranteed to transform and enhance your sex life. Look for their attractive banner in the sidebar of my site.
You love to make me hit you!
Actually, it is a little turn on. Listen up, sex fans. There's one more bit of news I want to tell you about. I'm about to launch another series of podcast interviews called Sex Edge-ucation. We will be investigating the fetish and kink world and discussing topics like BDSM and power play with prominent practitioners and advocates of unconventional sexual expressions and lifestyles. I'm confident that this new series, which will premiere this Wednesday, February 11th, will be interesting, stimulating, and very informative. Be sure to look for all of Dr. Dick's podcasts on iTunes. Once in the podcast section, all you have to do is search for Dr. Dick's Sex Advice. And don't forget to subscribe. Hey, and feel free to leave a comment when you do. Until next week, remember, sex is good. And good sex? That's even better. Over and out.